You're recording.
This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Orland Landman, DPM, in case number 2184. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 322234. We have Dr. Landman on the phone. Would you please introduce yourself, state your name on the record?
Lorna Landman.
And David Stoll, appearing as Dr. Landman's legal counsel.
Thank you. Dr. Landman, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. Board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, sorry to interrupt, but before we begin hearing testimony, if we could just have the record reflect that the board attempted to contact the complainant by phone twice, but not successful.
Yes. So before the before we started these proceedings, we first got the respondent on the phone. We attempted to get the complainant on the phone. Made two different attempts and went to voicemail both times. So the complainant is not participating right now.
Thank you.
And just so the record's clear, the only additional materials we submitted since this matter was set for an informal interview is the radiology report. I just want to make sure that that was received.
Okay, so we are at the interview part. This proceeding is being individually recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give you a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, not today, the complaint will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
This case 2184. On January 21st, 2021, Iggy Pop, a 4-year-old male dachshund mix, was presented to the respondent for crying out in pain and decreased appetite. The dog was examined. The respondent palpated a tense abdomen and performed applied kinesiology to determine the correct diet the dog should be fed. The dog was administered sub-Q fluids and pain medication and was discharged with sucralfate. On January 24th, 2021, due to the dog's continued pain, the dog was taken to an emergency facility. It was determined that the dog was having back pain due to previously diagnosed intervertebral disc disease. The dog was treated with pain medication and was discharged. On February 3rd, 2021, the dog was evaluated by a neurologist who determined that the dog's pain was likely caused by a herniated disc causing compression on the spinal cord.
Dr. Landman, at this point, I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Dr. Landman, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Okay, thank you. My response to the investigative committee's concern is simple. Additional diagnostics were not necessary on January 21st, 2021 to differentiate whether Iggy Pup's pain was related to a gastrointestinal issue or the history of possible intervertebral disease, because I had already determined during the course of my physical exam that the pain was emanating from a GI issue. That is not to say that I ignore the dog's disc disease history. I was given little information regarding the dog's history by the person who presented the dog. She was not the owner, she was a third party who was uncertain about the dog's medical history, other than the fact that he had recently been to a regular vet and his regular vet and had been on prednisone and gabapentin for his disc disease for a long time. That information was given to me and was not ignored. It was noted in the medical record. Given the disc disease history, I first performed a comprehensive exam, physical exam, from cervical one, doing the neck flexion, neck extension, side to side, on down the spine to the pelvis, and even, you know, trying to push down on the pelvis, he elicited no pain, no weakness, no paralysis, and none whatsoever in what I saw. We put the dog down on the floor, let the dog walk around. It did not show any weakness or wobbliness or any neurological weaknesses. We then put the dog back up on the table, and I palpated the abdomen. The person who brought the dog in and said that the dog was not eating. So I palpated the abdomen and noticed that the dog had a tense, painful abdomen. To the contrary, it was obvious to me that the source of Iggy's pain was the abdomen and appeared to be related to gastrointestinal issues. Based on the exam and findings, I gave two pain medications, Torpedesic and Serena. And Serena is commonly used for vomiting and GI pain. It's also been recommended for use in intervertebral disc disease when gabapentin has not been effective. And given the Serena, I felt that I could potentially be treating both conditions, and I was proven right in this regard when the owner reported the next day that the dog had improved. Even if I had it to do over again, I would treat the dog in the same manner and dispense those same medications, which were medically appropriate for symptoms the dog presented on that day. Again, the dog presented at closing time. They wanted pain medicine for the dog and did not want to take it to Blue Pearl because they didn't have the money for that. And I recommended a course of treatment that proved successful. The dog improved, and I'm therefore at a loss as to how my care can be found to be below the standard of care because I didn't perform additional diagnostics to determine the source of the pain. And since your last hearing, I had a boarded radiologist consult performed on the x-rays that my attorney provided to me. And the report includes the finding of physiologic reduced gastric outflow that may be secondary to pancreatitis. Given this finding, it is extremely likely that the pain that he had on January 21st was GI related. I'm now available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Landon.
This is Dr. James. I have a couple questions. So basically, to determine whether this was GI upset or intervertebral disc disease, you based it strictly on physical exam findings. Is that correct?
Yes, we did a complete physical on the dog when it was presented to us. And, you know, we had very little knowledge other than the dog was on gabapentin and prednisone. And I discussed with the person presenting it, you know, that the dog was not eating and that it certainly could be a dietary issue causing the abdominal pain. And, but we did discuss also to keep the dog on the gabapentin because of the history of the and a vertebral disc disease.
In your professional opinion, have you ever seen a pet with back pain kind of present as an abdominal case?
Well, not to that extent. They may be painful, but usually when they've got severe back pain, they're going to show, especially with vertebral disc disease, they're going to show pain, weakness, or paralysis. And this dog showed nothing like that. When we did all the physical exams all the way down the spine and the pelvis, and this dog had severe pain, you know, just even trying to gently palpate that abdomen, it showed severe pain.
And then you mentioned in your statement that your treatment was correct because the dog improved by the next day. But when I look at the notes from the next day, it says the dog's still crying out in pain when touched. The dog is drinking, but it will not eat. Like, I'm just wondering how you call that improved.
Well, the owner called us and said the dog was improved, was better that next day.
We had
told her if the dog did not improve, to bring her back in 24 to 48 hours.
So when an owner calls and says they're doing somewhat better, but they're still crying in pain when we touch them and they're still not eating, that in your mind doesn't warrant a recheck?
Well, that's what we had told her to do, is to bring the dog back, yes.
I don't have any additional questions.
Any other board members have questions? Right, this is the portion where we normally hear from the plaintiff. They're not participating.
Well, actually,
go ahead.
Sorry, I do have some questions. This is Dr. Wright. Can you discuss a little bit about this applied kinesiology and how you used it to determine there was gastrointestinal pain?
Well, it's you know, not a diagnostic tool, but we've used it for many years to help recommendations for things in diet if we feel that there's digestive upset. And
was it used in this case?
I'm sorry?
Was it used in this case?
Yes.
Can you explain the process and what you carried out?
Well, it's a matter of utilizing the energy from the whatever protein source or carbohydrate source that you want, and reacting positively or negatively in the animal, or to the animal. And it's been used for centuries by the Chinese. The chiropractors all use it, and we've used it for quite a few years.
Can you explain the exact process and what you did during the exam with that applied kinesiology?
Well, the process is the animal is held by the technician or the owner. And as the Chinese did their babies, they have the mother pull the baby into her energy field. And then whatever you want to test is placed on the away side of the baby or the animal, and then use the mother or the technician as the surrogate muscle tester, because you can't test the animal. And then you place whatever you want to place into their energy field, and it either gives you a positive reaction or a negative reaction.
What is the reaction you're expecting to see?
Well, you're either seeing whether they create the strong positive response, which means it would be a strong muscle response, or it creates a negative response, which would be a weak muscle response.
What do you mean by muscle response? Is it the animal's trying to get away from them, trying to bite someone? It shows pain. What is the muscle response? Are they start seizing and twitching? I mean, I'm kind of confused on muscle response.
Well, in testing the surrogate, you can either use the arm muscles, the deltoid muscles, or you can use the fingers. And you just pull the fingers apart or pull the arm down. And if there's a positive response, the muscle is strong. If there's a negative response, then the muscle is going to go down, or the arm will go down.
So you hold the dog's arm out, bring food next to it, and if the dog lowers or raises its arm, that's your diagnostic test. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's the surrogate muscle test, or the technician holds the dog in the energy field of the up against her. Now their energies are one, and you can use the mother or the technician and to pull their arm down, and if there's a positive response, your arm is strong. If there's a negative response, your arm is weak.
Okay, so the technician is holding the dog. We bring a food or something that we want to test next to the dog within its energy field. The dog's energy is then transferred over to the technician, and then you test the technician's muscle response?
That's correct.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Any other board members have questions? Right, so we do not have the complaint in this case. I wonder if I ask them any questions. Dr. Lamon, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
This is David Stoll. I have the closing argument to make, and then Dr. Lamon can make any additional comments you may wish to make. Dr. Lamon saw this dog on only one occasion on January 21st, 2021, when it presented for pain management and a decreased appetite. It was pain of an unknown origin. Dr. Lamon performed an examination, including a head-to-tail palpation and examination of the spine. The dog exhibited no spinal pain whatsoever during the exam. Also, Dr. Lamon explained how they had the dog walk and went into detail on that exam. She also palpated the stomach, and it was tight and appeared to be the source of the pain. No other diagnostics were needed or necessary for her to determine the source of the pain. The proposed violation of the committee is that Dr. Lamon, quote-unquote, failed to provide additional diagnostics to differentiate if the pain was related to a GI issue or the history of intervertebral disc disease. The disc disease, as you've heard from Dr. Lamon, was not ignored. It was the first area that Dr. Lamon considered as the source of pain, and it was ruled out based on the clinical signs the dog presented. She then prescribed medication to manage the pain, and the dog improved. The proposed finding of facts included a finding that the owner reported the next day that it was doing somewhat better. Also, don't forget the fact that there was a follow-up appointment scheduled with the owners, with Dr. Lamon, but the owner failed to show up for it, presumably because the dog was doing better. Again, the committee suggests that in retrospect, additional diagnostics should have been done to determine the source of the pain, but they don't say what additional diagnostics should have been done. To the extent an x-ray should have been done, an x-ray was done on December 14th, 2020 by a regular vet, Dr. Joshua Winston at Sun City West. You have Dr. Winston's records, and those x-rays showed mineralization density between the vertebrae and close disc spaces. However, if you read Dr. Winston's interpretations of those findings, this is what he concluded. Quote unquote, owner was advised that these findings do not mean that the areas are the cause of the pain, end of quote. Also, in response to the investigative committee's suggestion that additional diagnostics should have been performed, Dr. Lamon had the two x-rays that were included in your materials reviewed by a board-certified radiologist. We've submitted that consultation report that concluded that there was evidence of pancreatitis. That finding is entirely consistent with Dr. Lamon's finding on January 21st that the dog's pain was related to a GI issue. Also, you can't ignore the fact that the treatment Dr. Landman provided on January 1st, continuing with pain medication, is the same recommendation that was made by Dr. Reeder 3 days later on January 21st when Iggy went to Blue Pearl. At that time, Iggy was painful on palpation of the spine, unlike when it presented to Dr. Landman. If you look at her records, Dr. Reed says the following about Iggy's pain on that day. Quote unquote, "I advise that if owner currently has gabapentin at home, they should begin regular administration of this medication." Also, Dr. Reeder found evidence of GI irritation, which again is consistent with Dr. Landman's finding. Most importantly, Dr. Reeder did not perform any additional diagnostics to confirm the source of Iggy's pain. Her records state, quote unquote, "No lab work or radiographs were performed during the exam." Her diagnosis or determination of the source of pain was done exclusively on physical exam findings. I'm not here to create more work for myself or for you, but if you think that Dr. Landman fell below the standard of care because she didn't perform additional diagnostics to determine the source of the pain on January 21st, then you would have to open up another case against Dr. Reeder and other veterinarians in this case who did the exact same thing. They made the determination of the source of pain based upon the physical presentation. Finally, Iggy did not suffer in any way as a result of Dr. Landman's treatment. He improved slightly with the medication that was given. The treatment approach was the same, pain management. And that's exactly what Dr. Landman did. And I think the other thing that we may be missing, these two are not mutually exclusive. It's not like the dog only had GI pain or only had vertebral disc disease. I think it had the two of them were concurrent, and they just presented symptoms of pain differently to different veterinarians based upon the situation. It's a dynamic pain situation. I think the investigative committee was wrong and overlooked the fact that there were potentially two sources of pain. It just so happened on the day that Dr. Landman saw Iggy, the pain was GI related, and when Dr. Reeder saw the dog 3 days later, it was GI or related to the intervertebral disc disease. As a result, we do not feel that there's a violation in this case. There was no breach in the standard of care, and we request that this case be dismissed with no violation. Dr. Landman, do you have anything else you wish to add?
Well, the only other thing I would add is that Dr. Reeder also advised a diet change.
And while I'm thinking about it, there was no definitive, I believe in the summary that was read at the start of this, it was stated that Dr. Plumper made a definitive diagnosis that the pain was related to a herniated disc. If you look at his actual report, he saw the dog after the owners had failed to show for the first appointment. They showed up and he says that the pain, path of pain, was poorly described to me, but I suspected back pain. He didn't have a definitive diagnosis that the source of the pain was intervertebral disc disease or back pain. And then he recommended that more thorough workup needed to be done, including a spinal CT scan, something that Dr. Landman doesn't have that capability. And so he scheduled or recommended that they come back and complete the additional diagnostics, and they never showed up for the scheduled appointment for that either. Thank you.
Do any board members have questions? I guess I've got one. I've got written down here, Ms. Jennings, practice manager, is here speaking or just
she's
observing?
Just observing
today. Okay. Thank you.
Education.
Well, make sure I wasn't overlooking something. Any more questions from board members? Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So, I mean, I think in this case, what really the investigative committee had concerns with was you have a dachshund It has a previous history of back pain. We have an owner who's telling us that and describing symptoms very consistent with back pain. And yet without really full diagnostics, we determine it's abdominal pain. And I can see where, you know, the physical exam played a lot into that. She says she didn't see any issues. The back was strong, which I'm not sure exactly what that means. I don't use that terminology, but in other words, marked the back as normal. But according to the owner and in their complaint, the veterinarian never even touched the back, that there was no evaluation of the back as what had been done prior in diagnosing this disease. So I think you have to decide, you know, for yourself whether that back examination was fully completed. I'm concerned that on the 22nd, when the owner reached out and said that the dog was still not eating and seemed painful to even the touch, that we didn't really push getting that dog back in. But it does sound like, you know, from testimony anyway, that she says that she recommended that. I find a lot of back dogs that present kind of as abdominal cases. So to me, it wouldn't be shocking that this looks like an abdominal case. I kind of feel like that happens quite a bit. I don't think that the diagnostics that were done here are the exact same as what was done as Blue Pearl, which is what was being suggested. This Blue Pearl did actually write a script for additional pain management. They also discussed crate rest and exercise control, which is critical in back cases. So I don't actually think that was the same. I guess to get to the point, I don't necessarily know that I feel like this dog was worked up appropriately, but I also don't necessarily feel like I can say this is my opinion versus somebody else's way to practice. And I can't say that there was something necessarily that was done wrong.
I have a different opinion. So I agree that many back issues can present as abdominal pain, and a lot of things are missed because when you start palpating the abdomen, many dogs are going to start to kind of lurch and arch their back, or even just that pressure of the belly is going to put more pressure on the back. And you're touching the belly, the dog yelps, it looks like belly pain, and it's not. So it is a very, very difficult diagnosis to make. I look at the way the diagnosis was made and how we focused on the belly, and I'm severely concerned about the way that was done, this applied kinesiology. That is very concerning that we missed a diagnosis in the back. We even went to the specialist who still says likely of the back. I mean, we don't know anything. Most of the time in medicine, it's a lot of guessing games. Do we firmly come with a 100% diagnosis all the time? Absolutely not. But two other doctors still said this is likely back pain. So we totally missed the diagnosis based on this pseudoscientific approach of trying to hold different ingredients up in the dog's stomach and seeing how your technician responds.
So
I see a whole new problem there. With that.
That's how they picked the food.
Well, that's what we focused on.
Not how she determined that was where the pain was coming from. That was after the pain determination was made. Now, what are we going to do about it? One of the things we're going to do about it is change the diet. That is what, when I read this, when I listen to what she said, that is when that kinesiology, I forget what the Chinese name, Chen Ma or whatever.
No, it was starting in the beginning, it was focused on the raw diet, which I agree is a horrible diet. I mean, all dogs need to be off of raw diets. But that's where we had this applied blinders from what I could see, and we started going down this path to reinforce what we missed in the beginning. But we missed the back issue.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying the kinesiology, whatever that is, that was done not in any kind of diagnostic manner.
Yes,
it was done to pick the food.
That's a diagnosis.
It was done to pick the food.
No, it's a diagnosis of what are we allergic to or what are we having a problem with. That's a diagnosis.
Oh, okay, but it was not a gastrointestinal pain versus spinal pain.
No, because you missed the diagnosis and focused on the
wrong thing. Okay, I'm just saying, it was not used to differentiate those two. It was not used to say it's not the spine.
No, but once we missed the spine, we misdiagnosed everything else from there. We're going down the wrong path. And that's the thing is, when you're relying on these kinds of things, most of the time you keep going to the same pattern. So we missed the diagnosis and reinforced it in our mind. And that's the problem, is we missed this diagnosis. And we used a pseudoscientific process to confirm that missed diagnosis. And that's my big concern.
So what happened to the pancreatitis?
What pancreatitis?
It was in one of the X-rays from somebody else.
Even the report, the X-ray report, I can pull it up real quick. It says, because there was no date on the X-rays, if I am correct on that.
I agree with you on what you're saying. It does say, real quick, in this, a
single lateral abdominal radiograph is non-diagnostic. The current clinical relevance of a single radiograph performed 8 months previously is questionable. That is not a current X-ray.
So my issue with what you're saying, and because I agree with you from a medical standpoint completely, but what I have issue with is what she's saying now is she didn't disregard the back disease. She feels she treated that in case that was also part of the problem. Whereas I took it more from what was initially presented in the medical records as she felt like this was completely abdominal. What I'm hearing now is a little bit of this isn't one or the other. It could be a little bit of both, and she feels her treatment for what she did was justified for intervertebral disc disease. So that's not how I treat it,
but
I can't necessarily say 100% that Serenia is wrong. I was surprised at the removal of Pret, because that's kind of a mainstay, but then, you know, the other doctor that saw it later certainly continued the gabapentin and added in additional pain control. So,
but nothing that was done was to address the back. The TOR was just for generalized pain that she thought was abdominal.
Mm-hmm.
The Serenia, the initial reports of it helping at all with pain have been firmly discounted. So it's not a pain drug.
That's for pain.
No,
you don't
exactly.
Go, oh, I'm treating pain, I'm going to pull Serenia.
So you're treating the abdominal pain, which again she thinks is gastrointestinal issues. The fluids, again, that's a very generic. I love fluids. I think they're amazing. So that's very, very generic. And then stopping the prednisone, which is the only drug that will help with the back. No, so nothing was done to help with the back. The TORP inadvertently helped with the back a little bit. That is absolutely it. So no, we missed the back. The back was diagnosed as normal according to the records. And that's where we have this issue. And we went down this path because we were trying to reinforce that diagnosis. And it was used in no actual diagnostic tests, no confirmed real diagnostic tests were done. So that's my main concern is, was this continued treatment at the pre-regard at the next hospitals? No. Were similar drugs used? Yeah. So this was a misdiagnosis based on pseudoscience.
Dr. Rieger, she diagnosed back exacerbation of chronic pain from intervertebral disc disease.
Mm-hmm.
And treated that.
Yeah.
She didn't diagnose abdominals completely.
Exactly.
So they weren't the same.
Not the same. That's what I'm arguing is the continuation of the medications were not the same. Like I said, the one drug that would really help with the back, prednisone, was stopped. So no, the back was not a consideration. And there's no way that this treatment course can end it was, because it's contradictory.
So the initial recommendation from the investigative committee was R3-11-5011, failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge.
At a minimum.
So I guess I'll make a motion. I mean, because I do hear what you're saying. I think that why it changed for me is because she was saying that she was still considering the back as an issue, even though that's not
what it appears in the record or based on treatment. But I could make a motion that we adopt the committee's findings of fact as the board's finding of fact and the committee's conclusions of law as our conclusions of law, which is the R311-511 as it relates to 3222-32 number 12, failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge by not detecting intervertebral disc disease as an option for the dog's symptoms.
So I'll second that. No, I was considering adding more.
Okay, motion on the floor, a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohe?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Ryan is an aye, the motion carries.
So the board has voted to find a violation. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting the proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt a disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating in this.